mixing fun and info. Finfo. Or would that be funfo? Either way, it's time for It's Your Health, and it ain't rocket science. Here are Dr. Decker Weiss and Dr. Holly Lucille.
Dime Store Halo, the beautiful music of Julie Newmark. That's julienewmark.com. Love that intro. Shrink the head, cure the cold. Is the best doctor also a psychologist? Meaning when you think of that doctor that makes you feel good, and I remember mine, Dr. Avner Kaufman. And whenever I went in, it didn't matter what I had, I always felt good. I always felt like he was going to, he knew me. He would come in and he would ask, hey, did you remember that measles you or that chickenpox you had 5 years ago, whatever. And I used to go to him when I was in college just because I'd sit there with my little highlights and in my mini little chair just because I would get that feeling with him that he knew me. And I think that always got me better. But medical science is really different. A lot of people say that there should be a distance between the doctor-patient relationship, that we can't be objective. I'm not objective with my patients. Sometimes I wish I was, but that also may not be appropriate. Holly, this is an ongoing topic. I mean, this is a very big topic in medical circles. Is it okay to cross this line? Are we less effective doctors when we hug or we get into our patients' more personal lives, or we get to know them and bond with them?
You know, I think that being a good practitioner is not just having good clinical acumen or being able to have good diagnostic skills. I think that being a good clinician is being able to develop a therapeutic relationship. And quite honestly, for each individual that walks into my office, that's different. You know, there are some people, and I make sure I let them take the lead. I am a huggy person. I just am. Mm-hmm. I am. But when it comes to my patients, I think that I want them to feel safe. I want them to feel comfortable, and I let them take the lead. Most people, usually because of the therapeutic relationship, I try to sort of just exude in our visit, feel safe enough, mm-hmm. and they want to give me a hug. And that's fine. I think, you know, it's like, it's therapeutic, it's great. But some people will you know, after our visit, will hold out their hand, and I'm like, you know, a handshake is just fine. And I basically let them take the lead, especially on the touchy huggy part.
So what I'm hearing is you're reading them. You're reading Absolutely. Them to see what's appropriate. And that also takes energy. Now, okay, let's look at the other side of this. Holly, if you're reading the patient to find out whether you should be doing that, do you still have brain power to get their problem solved? Like if they come in and they have a rash or whatever, it's hard, right?
Yes. And I have often wondered, like, why I'll see, when I get home from my patient days, I get home, I swear to you, I sit on the couch and I stare at the wall for like 30 minutes. And that is it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's complete, and I love it. I mean, time flies I'm having a great time. Everything's clicking along, but I get home and I kind of have to down-regulate because it's brain, but it is really truly heart that I have in there. It really is.
Yeah, I hear this term going around now that I like, and it's called sub-select. That patients will sub-select the doctors that can best get them well. When patients would just sign up for Blue Cross and they'd say, okay, you have this choice of 50 doctors here or 30 doctors here, they didn't have a lot of choices on matching and bonding those personalities. My practice, it's a cash pay practice. So when they come in, they can sub-select me and I'll look at people and say, I don't know if this is a good match. I don't know if I can get you well. We just don't get along. And especially me and you are strong personalities. We know what we believe in. We know who we are. But I like that term sub-select. Do you like that?
I do, but tell me a little bit more what it means. Like,
some people like huggers. Some people like people that are cold and distant. Some people's image of a doctor is. Some women want men to do pap smears. A lot of my older women patients, when I refer them out for women's medicine, do not want a woman.
I tend to chuckle.
Younger ones want it. Yeah.
I tend to chuckle at this whole idea of men's health and women's health because you know how weird I am about these things, but I never understand. It's like, if there is a woman sitting in front of me, that is women's health. If there is a man sitting in front of me, that's men's health. It's like, it's so funny that we distinct, you know, it's like women's and men's health. And I'm like, well, duh. I hate to be Captain Obvious here, but thanks so much for that. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, let me go into this a little bit more. I think as far as the question that you asked regarding personal lives and actually personal disclosure, you know, there are some things where people are into stories. And I think that Brené Brown is this researcher. I saw her on a TED Talk, and she said one of my favorite things. She's a researcher. She has a very analytical brain. And then she stumbled upon her own vulnerabilities in life, and she started to talk about her story. And she said this about stories. You know, because when we are when we're with people, we're starting to get data, right? We want data from them. Come on, fill this out. And I want data, and I've got to write down these numbers and all of that stuff. Somebody's calling us in. So sorry about that. She says that stories are just data with a soul. And I loved that. I'm like, sure, yes, data with a soul. And so, you know, when people are telling me their stories, because I think it's really important data, and there's something that I have gone through personally that I feel that it's safe enough, because I'm not going to turn the tables and go, oh yeah, me too. It's not like that. Mm-hmm. It's that I want them to know that I truly understand. And so there are times when I'll actually share a little part of my personal life. And it just makes sense. And of course, I've been doing this for over 13 years now, as far as seeing private practice patients. I know where that line is, but I think that sometimes it's really value added, and it makes them feel even more safer.
Yeah, I do. And I'm willing to lose a patient that doesn't like my style that way. And that's the thing that's a cost for me. I mean, when I want to share, because I do, I talk about my kids and all that stuff. I had a guy coming in. He's having a lot of trouble with his teenager. I talked about what the outward bound stuff was with my teenager. We were both shedding tears about these difficult things and hugging. But sometimes they'll take offense to that, and I have to be willing to bite the bullet on that too. And it hasn't got me in trouble, but it's gotten it where people walked in and said, why is that doctor telling me about his stuff? And
right.
I'm like, well, because I thought it was appropriate. I don't know.
Right. Well, that's interesting. I mean, you definitely have a stance about that. And like, so once again, it's like I definitely pay attention enough where I feel like, as long as I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, well, me too, and I'm taking up their time by talking about my stuff. But if it's something that I can share, that I know that is they're going to really, truly understand that I understand. Because listen, in medicine and it's all in health, there's some stuff that's hard to talk about, and there's some connotations around things that people have a difficult time. And then if they don't feel safe, they end up lying to us, and we can't do our job. And so,
right,
you know, I think that is to make that relationship as safe as possible by, you know, and you ask, is the best doctor also a psychologist? You know who I think the best doctor is? The best doctor is somebody who continues to work on themselves. Because the more that they can contain their own emotions, their own behaviors, their own health, and tolerate that, the better they are going to be in containing their patients.
But aren't you also talking about being a leader or demonstrating that? And people are shocked when I tell them that, yeah, I went to counseling for this, and my wife battled, you know, we get this, and they're shocked because they think that I live in this, you know, goal paved world, that I don't have stresses and I don't have these things. And when it makes it real for them, some of them don't like the fact that my life is very real life, and others of them think, wow, that guy talked to me like a person.
No, I think being vulnerable like that is, and showing that, I think is such value add, because it allows them to feel that they can be there and that they're okay.
Last thing, would you want a surgeon who could bond with you like that? Would you want a surgeon who could bond with you like that, or would you prefer a surgeon have distance? Okay.
Oh, no.
Well, we've talked about, and same with me, I think the best surgeons are the ones that do have a little bit of emotion on the line. I think that they can handle it with their training, and I think that's all been blown out. So, good clinician, therapeutic relationship. That therapeutic relationship allows you to be treated as an individual. It's okay, patients. Select out the doctors that work for you. Interview several doctors, whichever one's personality and vibe, will say, a hug or whatever, bonds with you, you go ahead and you use them. And doctors who grow have patients that heal. Doctors who grow have